Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
It's still a horrible year. Horrible, horrible, horrible year. Hi, I'm Robert.
Hi, Robert. I'm Katie.
Welcome to the Horrible Year Show.
Mm-hmm. This is the show about bad years. And this year, we're talking about 1349, which, not a great year. That's all I've got to say. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yep. Yep. All right, guys.
That's the show.
Good episode. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's a lie, like everything I say, except for the stuff I'm about to say, because today we're going to talk about something very important, which is how the COVID-19 epidemic is being used as an excuse by the GOP to push laws criminalizing the existence of transgender people.
A nice light topic for a nice light week.
Well,
for a nice light year.
For a nice light year. So, I should probably introduce the fourth voice that people may have heard a couple of times. Our guest for today, Eva Cantor. How you doing, Eva?
You know, I'm having a very cool time, just like everybody else. There's some stuff going on in the news I've heard about. I'm not watching it anymore. It's all cool.
You aren't? Good for you.
No. I've tried to tune out.
It's hard to tune it out. I'm impressed by it, but you gotta.
I think all you can do anymore is, you know, you set aside about like an hour a day to catch up and go like, okay, that's my budget. I'm good. And then after that, you just kind of go.
Well, also, if you've seen one news program, you'll see the next. There's not going to be that much difference.
I have specifically avoided having a TV that can deliver me the news. and I think that we would all do well. Like, you know how Elvis shot his TV because he got angry at the news? What if we did that for each other?
Yeah.
If we all shot each other's TVs?
You pick up any kind of weapon and break into a stranger's home and damage their television. What?
That would violate our 6 feet social distancing rules. Yeah.
That's the only reason.
It's the only reason I wouldn't do that. When all of this is over, I swear to you, I will come and I will shoot your TVs.
We'll all be shooting each other's TVs.
Provided Robert teaches me how to use a gun.
I mean, the key is to just aim at a TV. But yeah, Eva, you want to introduce yourself?
Eva, it's so great
yourself?
To have you. Thank you for joining us.
Sorry for that terrible introduction where I just
it's better than any of what I've done on my own, I think. If you know me on Twitter, I'm sorry. That's your mistake, not mine. I am.
No, it's not a mistake.
No one should be on Twitter. It's a mistake no matter who you
it's
follow.
True. It's true. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. We're all trapped there. I saw a thing, you know, making fun of it. Oh, it's the blue hell site. And, you know, because if you post there too much. The thing about hell is you can't leave. That's why it's hell. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm a member of the Socialist Rifle Association's Central Committee, which is not as scary as it sounds. You know, I promise. And I'm a transgender person and a lot of other things. Just going through the motions right now. I'm probably a bunch of things I'm forgetting, but, you know, I'm here. So that's
what I enjoy about your Twitter presence is that you're one of the only people I know who has a functioning understanding of how stocks work. You know, you know what stocks are.
Yes.
So this is a little off topic, but what are they?
Oh God! Like seriously? Because I can tell you.
No! I was
okay.
Can I
do a quick callback, like super fast?
Please.
As a fellow person from the DFW area, I listened to your Mark Cuban episode, and as you know, a proud person from the DFW area, I have spent much of my life proudly just loathing Mark Cuban. and you know, as a billionaire, you know, still sucks, but. I now have to like hate him less than Jerry Jones, which just that's a bitter pill. That's the worst.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones is pretty outwardly offensive.
Everything about him, you can just on every level. Even if he didn't have the money, I could still hate him. Whereas like Mark Cuban, like, well, he said some things that aren't like the worst thing I've ever heard. So I guess.
Well, the thing that's interesting about Mark Cuban is that there are a lot of ways where the goal is similar to what I'd say that we all believe in. It's just his means of getting there that I find quite philosophical difference of opinion, I suppose, but at least you're not.
Yeah, his worldview's all
thoroughly abhorrent.
Yeah, and the thing that he is, but like the other things that he's useful in a way that I don't want to say out loud because of reasons, but you know, it's not Jerry Jones, and that's a thing that I've not been able to say before.
Yeah. So let's talk.
I had to Google Jerry Jones. I'll be honest. I get it. He sounds like he sucks.
Yeah. He does.
You can broadly, I think, define the groups of people that are trying to kill us all into two groups, and it's the kinds of people who like do it as a byproduct of doing other things, and there's the kind of people who are really just hunkering down to murder people.
Yeah.
And today we're going to talk about the hunkered down, want to murder people, because that is like the overwhelming feeling I'm getting right now from a lot of the legislation being pushed in state houses around the United States aimed at like transgender people. And this kicked off before the coronavirus epidemic. Mm-hmm. But they've certainly taken advantage of it. There was an interesting article that came out like back in February at the top of this year that was like laying out all of the different state bills and stuff that the Republicans were pushing this year. And it's a Washington Post article, and I think I'm just going to quote like the top of it right now because it lays out things pretty well. Last week, and this is like February 25th. Last week, South Dakota's Republican House passed a bill banning doctors from treating young people under age 16 with hormones or gender-confirming surgeries, making doing so punishable with up to a year and a $2,000 fine. Well, this week, the bill failed to pass out of its state Senate committee. The full state Senate could still decide to take it up. Meanwhile, similar proposals have been filed in Colorado, Florida, Idaho, Oklahoma, Missouri, and South Carolina, and lawmakers in Kentucky, Georgia, and Texas say they are also planning to file such bills. So yeah, it's like there's a clampdown that was planned at the start of the year, even before the coronavirus hit. And this has been, so generally, and at least in the reading I've done, most of it seems to suggest that this really got started after 2015. And it's because of Obergefell versus Hodges, which is like the Supreme Court case that opened legal marriage rights to same-sex couples across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So after the religious right lost that battle, they started increasingly targeting transgender people. Like that was the next fight they picked, is we've at least temporarily lost this fight to make it illegal for gay people to get married. It's time to fuck up some trans folks. And I found an analysis on what the Washington Post that analyzed 71 bills introduced in state legislatures, or that there were, that which revealed that there were 71 bills introduced in state legislatures between January 1st of 2014 and February of 2018 that included the word transgender. And this was like a massive spike. There were like two bills in 2014 that used the word transgender, nine in 2015, 22 in 2016, 26 in 2017, and 15 in 2018. So yeah, that's kind of like the background of this, is there was this surge that started 5 years ago in pushing against trans rights. And now that, the coronavirus epidemic has kind of occupied everyone's mind, it's being used as an excuse to push a lot of this stuff through. The most recent example would be the state of Idaho, which just, introduced HB 500, and pushed it up to the governor. And the bill bans trans girls and women from high school and college women's sports, as well as HB 509, which bans gender changes on birth certificates issued in the state. And the deadline for signing or vetoing the bills was March 31st, which happened to be International Trans Day of Visibility. And the governor, signed them both on the law. So, like that's kind of the start of what we're going to see, but it's going to accelerate over the next couple of months as this continues, coronavirus continues to dominate. And anyway, that's my introductory spiel.
That's a really cool spiel.
That was quite a spiel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like at the core of it too, is what we see internationally is you have this realization that, certain parts of the culture war have been lost. They gay people, hey, they exist. You can't, get rid of them. So, Ellen's got a TV show. Oh, well, too bad. So before, some popular transgender person has a TV show, we better make sure that we make being transgender just such a hell to exist. They all go in the closet and whatever. So we're going to do that as quickly and harshly as possible. And I think a thing that a lot of people, you know, really should keep in mind and tend to forget is that, you know, this isn't happening, you know, spur of the moment. There are these bills, there are these plans, there are these ideas that they're all sitting in a drawer somewhere. There are plans to this. And it's like what happens in the UK. There's international cooperation on these things. There are, you know, think tanks about this stuff. These people all talk to each other. And, you know, I mean, just saying that out loud sounds conspiratorial. Like, oh, there's this international community of you know, people who sit around all day thinking about other people's genitals. But, like, yeah, that's what it is. And that's what it is to be in this community, is you have to think, like, hey, there's people who just think nonstop about me being trans, about people who I don't know being trans. Because I would like to think about literally anything else. I'd love to, like, man, just down some hormones and be left the fuck alone. Like, that'd be really cool. And just not think about it for a day.
Yeah, it's really good that you point out the international dimension to this, because it is, like, it is international. Hungary just sought... So the big news last week was that Hungary's president, Viktor Orban, basically had laws introduced that's kind of his equivalent of a Reichstag fire declaration, which is what gave Hitler dictatorial power. He has taken permanent long-term power and is now president forever at decree, basically, as a result of the coronavirus epidemic. And that made the news, and I think a lot of people have heard that. But at the exact same time, Orban introduced a series of bills that, among other things, stipulates that gender should be defined as biological sex based on primary sex characteristics and chromosomes. It records people's sex at birth in the civil registry and makes it impossible for anyone to change their legally recognized gender. This is like the first thing Orban felt important to do after getting the dictator card passed to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's I mean, kind of like with all of this, like, you know, if you're gay, if you're bisexual, if you're straight and just not like the group that's going to do great when things turn pear-shaped, like, hey, you know, it might be trans people, it might be whatever group, but it's going to come your way. And if you can't feel some way about it because it's someone else, feel some way about it because, like, it's going to be you eventually, and it's going to be some guy like Viktor Orban taking power, and now you live in a fascist hellscape. Like, that's how authoritarianism works, is pointing at a group and saying, well, they're not enough like you, so we're just going to go ahead and say they don't exist. Don't worry about it. It won't be you next week. It will.
Yeah, I mean, it'll take 3 or 4 weeks for someone like me, so I feel actually pretty good. I mean,
oh, yeah, don't even worry about it. You can still buy guns, so you're fine.
What's that poem? First they came for them, and then they stopped.
Yeah, it was fine.
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
Cody, that's the entirety of the famous poem about fascism.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's totally cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally cool is the title of the poem.
So it's totally cool.
There was less traffic, so actually it was great.
Things worked out for me.
Hitler built the Autobahn, so actually it was totally awesome.
Yeah. All right, that's enough Hitler talk for a while. This isn't behind
the bastards. Oh, no more fun jokes? Okay.
No more fun Hitler jokes. I know, that's your favorite part, except for when Cody and I come up with nicknames for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know, this is, it's one of those things, I feel like there's a degree to which I don't know how much more I should say, because it's a matter of, like, this is a horribly fucked up situation and it's going to get worse unless people do something. Please do something. So I guess one of the questions is, like, what can we do while we're all sitting here at home, being like, oh no, another horrible thing is happening?
This is a tall ask of an answer.
Yeah. Answer this question authoritatively for everyone right now on the spot, please. This is...
I'm just having, like, this nightmarish flashback to when Michael Bloomberg said he met with leaders of the trans community, and all of us on Twitter were like, what? Who? What? When did we have that vote?
Like, did you guys vote on the leaders? Because I didn't.
Yeah, I missed that meeting, actually. I think I called in sick for that one. I may have had, like, a proxy or something.
We do a leader. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. My card was in the mail or something. I don't know. But yeah, I... So... It's tricky because, like, especially now, I mean, you know, obviously there can only be one problem at a time, and nothing, no two bad things ever happen at once. So it's really hard for when a community says, I mean, one of the things that we've seen, because, you know, transphobes in the UK are incredibly well organized, and they have a huge presence online, and they just will call themselves, like, hey, we're words that basically just mean bigot, and they have an amazing ability to just say, like, hey, you know, you may think you're being oppressed, but, like, there's a pandemic on, you know, shut up. And I think when you see members of any group, and this, you know, the transgender people are no different, say something terrible is happening, here's what it is, don't, the worst thing you can do is say, hey, COVID-19 is happening, hey, the hospitals are full of whatever,
right,
we can wait. Well, no, like, use your forebrain and think about it for a second and realize that anytime there's a crisis, someone in power is going to use it to get more power. And, you know, they're going to not use it on you if you're doing okay. They're going to use it on people who have the least power. So maybe listen to those people. Like, yeah, like, that's, if you're someone who's in that position who has that comfort, I don't want to use the P word because I know people get kind of, you know, annoyed when you say privilege, but that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
you have to listen when people say, like, hey, this bad thing is happening. It is what it is. Because, I mean, the unfortunate reality is like, it is very hard to be part of a small group of people who are politically disadvantaged. You know, like you were mentioning that, hey, there are people in states saying that, you know, in all these different states, you know, the people under a certain age, you know, can't get XYZ transition, and saying, oh, you can't medically transition if you're under whatever age. Well, the thing is that, you know, 10-year-olds aren't medically transitioning. That's not happening. Okay. Like, they're getting therapy. They're allowed to explore those feelings. They're allowed to, like, lead healthy lives. And I'll tell you something, if I was 10 years old, or, you know, this is getting a little personal, but, you know, that was around the age I started, like, going, like, hey, I think there might be something going on here. And if I was in a society where, like, I wouldn't be, I grew up in rural Texas, frankly, drug behind a pickup, because, yeah, I was feeling that way.
I mean, let's make it really explicit. That's not like a euphemism. That was one of the defining things that happened when both you and I were children in Texas.
Yeah. There was a young gay kid, not too far from where you and I grew up, who, mm-hmm, I think probably even you and I are about 14. That happened. Yeah. I forget where, but yeah. And that was, I'm not going to lie, that was one of the things that made me realize, oh, I need to be in the closet until I die. Cause I realized that's going to happen to me. And if I was in a society where it was acceptable to even think about being trans, I would probably be a much happier, healthier person. And there are a lot of people who would be in the exact same position. And if you're someone who is outside of that community, as silly as the word community is, the very most basic thing you can do is listen. And you're going to hear some frustration. You're going to hear some anger, because it's a frustrating and anger-inducing time. But just remember, it's not directed at you, you know, it's directed at how much everything sucks right now.
Yeah. And it's so, I mean, I know we've been talking about this now for a few minutes, but it's with everything going on, COVID-19, all of this horrific news coming down the pipeline, it's just very easy for stuff that is immediately important in so many people's lives, for that to get lost in the shuffle. And so listening, yeah, that is a frustrating answer. It's also the most important answer. It's paying attention. It's not just, like, not clicking on that article you see because you are at, if you have the bandwidth, I know everyone's going through a lot right now, but, like, saying, like, yes, stop and pay attention to this. Imagine, take how hard this is for you, and then imagine if you had even less going on, like, even less power, you know, even more marginalized. And empathy is just so important right now, and it's we lose it so fast.
Yeah, especially when, like, we're suffering too, like, it gets harder for some people, I think, to focus on anything else that's wrong when, like, they're focused on trying to, I don't know, lock down toilet paper or whatever. But if we don't want things to get worse, part of it starts with you know, protecting the whole like community, and I mean that in terms of, like, everyone who lives around you and who you're intertwined with is part of that community. And like, if a segment of that community is being targeted, like you were saying earlier, Eva, like it's going to come on you eventually. Like this shit spreads.
Yeah.
In the same way, I can go on a rant about Syria every day of the week, but like you ignore one group of people and horrible things happen to them, and then horrible things start happening everywhere. It's just the way the world works.
Yeah, if you let horrible things happen to certain people, then that tells the people that did the thing that it's okay to make horrible things happen because they can get away with it.
And they're all friends. All the horrible people are friends. Mm-hmm. Good friends.
In their community.
Yeah.
All right. We need to take a real quick ad break.
Speaking of listening, listen to these commercials.
Listen to these. Speaking of the worst people in history, they all need access to flying robots that can launch missiles full of swords at cars filled with dissidents. And if you need something like that, the fine people at Raytheon have got your back.
I honestly think my ad transition was just fine.
Welcome to the worst year ever. Together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back. Oh, and I feel like I appreciate all of you and also the good people at Raytheon. Mm-hmm. Mostly the good people at Raytheon. Yeah. Hashtag Raytheon.
Yeah. Once social distancing
is
over.
Get it trending, folks.
Yeah. I don't live too far from them. I'm gonna go. I mean, actually, Robert, do you want me to like go over to Raytheon and be like, hey,
yes.
Actually, great.
Yeah, hop that big wrought iron chain link fence of theirs.
Say, hey, actually, Raytheon.
Yeah.
One thing I hear about Raytheon is that their parking lot security isn't good.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm going to take a big cookie bouquet, and they're going to be like, you know what? We were going to just perforate you, but now, is that a
snickerdoodle? I will bet they've got to be registered as like an essential business, right? Like the U.S. government isn't turning down missile.
No,
yeah, I'm pretty sure Raytheon's not doing work from home. Yeah,
yeah.
If anything,
they're all on Zoom right now.
Do you think the White House like staff, like the cooks and the maids and stuff? Do you think those are essential services?
Yeah, no, they're all still coming into work. Yeah, I don't know. Cool. I wonder how that's working. I am mostly curious though about Zoom bombing a defense distributor as they yeah that could be a lot of fun.
I just feel bad for whatever essential workers making McDonald's runs for the president.
I was gonna say they need someone to call.
I was just thinking
for McDonald's
that.
And Diet Cokes.
And that's one of the things that I'm interested in terms of this is like I feel like one of the reasons things haven't been even worse than they are is just the fact that I don't know. They've been pretty bad. Like I keep going back and forth as to is Trump worse than a baseline Republican would have been? Because a baseline Republican, or not a baseline Republican, but like an actual religious conservative, like is he worse? Because those people, like George W. Bush, they tend to at least have a little bit of fear of electoral consequences, and Trump just kind of. He draws so much attention unto himself that I think other fucked up things that happen get less attention. That's what I'm getting at. And so I wonder if like he's been able to get away with even more damaging bigoted shit, even though I don't think he's personally all that motivated by hatred of LGBT people. I think he's just doesn't
he
give
goes
a shit.
Along
opportunistic.
With it. Yeah.
And wants
that's
the
why
votes.
That's why they love him so much, because everything slips off him so easily and he does consume the attention.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, all these things can happen under the radar because everyone's talking about Covfefe or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think he believes that hard in very much, but if it benefits him to take up a cause of some sort, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
he expands his base in some capacity.
Yeah, it's ego and it's, and then they use it.
Yeah. I think his actual personal level of bigotry is like 70s bigotry, where he holds like all of the basic attitudes about different groups of people that
he
were
like
would see on TV in the 70s.
Forgive the comparison. It's Biden-style racism.
He's just like your crappy uncle. Like, he's just an old man who's just, oh, hey, that's weird. I don't get it. Like, so that's what you're doing. Okay. Weird. And I think, like, if he was surrounded by people who were similarly kind of whatever about everything, he would not be like an active bigot. Yeah. I don't think he's like a bigot in the way that like his, you know, Klansman awful dad was. Yes. He's certainly not like a full blown Nazi. Like, thank God I just got the name of our vice president somehow. Cool.
oh, Biden. He's cool. Yeah. He's not like a Christian extremist.
Yeah. He's not a full blown Dominionist. He's not like, you know, going to bathe the country in the cleansing blood of, you know, Lord God Christ or anything. And like, you know, yeah, I don't think he wants to like open up death camps necessarily. Yeah. Which.
Just cool. Other kinds of camps.
Well, like, yeah. He would do all these things if the right group of people convinced him to, which is pretty easy to do.
Yeah, this is what's happening, yeah. Right.
On his own, the only death camps he'll set up are ones that are more or less where the death is a byproduct of the other horrible shit he's trying to do.
And the fact that he's like a buffoonish, incompetent dullard who can't do anything right. Because his brain.
He manufactures death camps, not always intentionally. Like, about half the time, it's just because he was making some other kind of camp. Yeah. That's
the
kind of death
camps.
He's the
Baby Huey of presidents, which is bad. We shouldn't have.
This is a fun insult at president section.
Yeah, there's no real, I guess, direction to this other than us, like, stumbling through. So let's
catharsis is nice.
Let's talk about what it is. Like, the organization you represent is the Socialist Rifle Association, which I've talked about a couple of times on a number of my podcasts. I'm kind of curious what you see as sort of the intersection of your interest in self-defense and community self-defense and what we're seeing right now out of the administration in terms of like bigoted policies.
So, you know, boy, that's a... which asks me lots of easy questions. So, you know, one, I will always say, you know, the SRA is a very complex and multifaceted organization because you have, like, you know, I'm down in the DFW area, and, you know, our chapter here is, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble if I don't say this very smartly. you know, we're a very, you know, if you're a leftist, you're going to know what this means, so I apologize to people who don't know all the lingo. You know, we're a very lib-left, you know, anarchist-shaped, you know, kind of group. We're not all that, you know, we've got more people who are very state-heavy, who love their more structural stuff. Sure, great, cool, whatever. And then you have other places where it's more, you know, oh, they love their Marx, they love their little round glasses. I'm giving people shit. You know, sure, but like... we're a very diverse organization ideologically. We're also a very diverse organization, you know, in terms of identity. We've got a lot of cis people. We've got a lot of trans people. We have a lot of straight, gay, you know, lesbian, this, that, and the other thing kind of folks. And, you know, one of the things that I like about us is that I think on a root level, everybody in the ESRA understands the importance of community to defense and, you know, intercommunalism and the idea that, like, it's not enough to... you know, just be able to, oh, if someone comes on your door, you can get them with your guns. Because that's some, like, you know, libertarian soldier of fortune crap. Like, that's goofy. That's also, you know, dangerous.
Yeah.
You're going to hurt yourself doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've had some quarrels with a couple of FedEx guys.
You know.
Then there's the mailman. But as a general rule, yeah, I wouldn't think that is a reasonable... primary reason to own arms. Yeah. And like, that's one part of what worries me is a lot of the people asking me for gun advice is that like, they're clearly worried about like protecting their home with a thing that they're just going to buy because it's a totem against fear. And I'm very hesitant to advise people to buy fear totems.
Being a Texan, I grew up around guns. I, you know, they're just a thing that you can have. And it's like a kitchen knife on the counter. The thing on its own is not that dangerous. In the hands of someone who doesn't know how to wield one, they're going to cut your fingers off. And I know, like, if you're from somewhere else, if you have a different view of things, that's, yeah, you know, sure. I'm not going to, whatever. And in the SRA, you know, we have a very geographically and culturally diverse group of people who, you know, don't have, who have different levels of comfort with that. And in terms of community defense, we're much more uniform in that, you know, it is up to all of us to take care of all of us. And it is up to all of us to make sure that, you know, we don't turn towards bigotry. We don't turn towards, you know, hey, you know, my ability to feel safe is more important than your actual safety. My feeling of autonomy is more important than your personhood. And, you know, for whatever disagreements we might have as members, for whatever ideological differences we have, I believe that is something that is that unites us all as members in the SRA. And I hope it continues to, because I will say, and this is maybe a little inside baseball that maybe our president and vice president hopefully won't be mad at me for saying, that while this has been going on, you know, everything with COVID-19 and the quarantine and the current, you know, political moment, I will say our membership has been going up. You can look at our Twitter. Our follower numbers have been going up a lot. Wow. Interest in the SRA has been going up a lot. People are worried, and they're reaching out to the left. And I'm sure, and I'll tell you right now, I'm sure the NRA can say the same. I'm sure the NRA is like, oh man, people are super interested in guns.
I will be really curious. I haven't actually looked at the if the NRA has posted new membership numbers. I'm wondering, I feel like I've lived through a lot of gun buying panics, as I know you have, Eva. I remember the first big one of my life was in 2008, 2009, when President Obama was elected and then sworn in because of, I shouldn't need to say, a bunch of racists were scared that a black guy was president and the world was ending. And then most of the gun buying panics that have happened over the years since then were like, there's a big one after Adam Lanza shot up the Sandy Hook Elementary School because people were scared of a gun ban. They tend to spike after really big massacres, although they didn't after the Vegas shooting, which is it's weird. There's some suspicion as to why. But as a general rule, it's either racism or fear of liberals that sparks gun runs. This is the first gun run I've seen that wasn't sparked by that. And I wonder if we're not seeing a larger chunk of this one being driven by people who are liberals or on the left, as opposed to being driven primarily by like frightened conservatives. Like, I'm very curious as to how many of those gun buyers actually got NRA memberships and how many of them were people who just it's both a good and a bad thing, I guess. Yeah,
I do wonder, and I actually think it. Okay, so you mentioned the stock thing earlier. I actually kind of look at it from like an economic standpoint, because like if you're sending, you know, because what gets me is the ammunition side of it, because you cannot find like 5.56 of all things, which is stupidly common, right?
It's the bullet that goes in an AR-15.
Yeah,
as a general rule.
And, you know, if you're in Texas, that's, you knee deep in this stuff. It's everywhere. And you can't find
it. They sold 15,000 round buckets for $3,000 when I was back then. Yeah. Yeah.
And for it to be just missing, that means there are people buying it in places that normally it's not getting bought. Like there's a demand shock I think you guys talked about demand shock in the show before, so I can just say that word now. It's fine. But there are people buying it in places and amounts that normally there's just not a demand for it. Which, yeah, to me implies that, like, there's now a demographic shift in who's buying this stuff, which on some level is, like, kind of, I guess, worrying, because it's like, yeah, there's probably more just loose ammunition in this country per capita than there's been since the Revolutionary War.
I have a bunch of it on my desk.
Yeah. I mean, that's a thought that, like, I really can't put a feeling to. And it's kind of hard not to, like... I just don't know how to feel about that. Like, it's really kind of scary.
Yeah, it's not.
I'll say, as a transgender Jew,
thing.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's not
the
great.
Time of plague, it blows. You mentioned the years of the plague. I'm gonna pour some Bev here just quickly. It blows. Yeah, it's
what is the Bev? Sucks.
This is not brought to you by Woodford Reserve.
Oh, Woodford Reserve.
Oh, that's a nice choice.
Yeah, of the bourbons, it is among.
It's
them.
One of them.
Yeah. 1349, which brings us back to our topic of the worst year ever.
Our topic at hand.
And I will say, like, that is, I think it is related to the trans thing broadly, because, you know, if this gets worse, I mean, there are people talking like, oh, we're flattening the curves. You can watch TV. There are people pouring into churches right now. There are people saying there's no plague.
Yeah.
There's no plague.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're supposed to be hitting the peak now, and God willing.
Although some places are just getting started. Other places.
Yeah, that's the scary thing, is it's looking like fucking Michigan's probably, 12 days out from their peak?
Unbelievable. You know? Yeah,
and their numbers are already horrible.
From whatever happens today. Yeah.
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 There's no telling. We're not going to know. Yeah. And if things get worse, you know, people are going to get mad hopefully people get mad at the people in power. Hopefully people get mad at the people who led them astray.
Fingers fucking crossed, yeah.
Yeah. But if the people in power need someone to blame, if the churches need someone to blame, they're going to say, yeah, it's you know, it's the people who bathe. That's what always happens. That's how the song always goes.
Yeah, you're referring to the episode of Behind the Bastards I just did where we talk about why Jewish people were targeted during the Black Death. And it's because not as many of them died because they bathed every week and Christians didn't, you know? Because it was gross in the past.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, you're
seeing this happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, that's still a thing we say amongst ourselves.
Story today about the... you know, Jewish gatherings and stuff being Zoom bombed by people with anti-Semitic messages and, you know, and we're talking about the trans community already, but.
Yeah, and that guy, there's just video again today of like a dude in front of the Chinese consulate in Australia with a bullwhip, like shouting race hatred.
It's a bullwhip. That's cool. That's really cool. Good. Oh, fuck. Cool. Just like his cool hero. Just like his cool buddy.
Oh. Just like our buddy Hitler. Oh. I shouldn't call him our buddy. I really gotta. I gotta break that habit.
Shouldn't say that.
I gotta recalibrate some things after doing the show that I do.
Yeah, just like that one person in history who also had a bullwhip.
Yeah,
yeah,
talking,
that's better.
Of course, about. I don't really have a joke. This is just a bad thing that's happening.
Oh my
god! Yeah, so
sorry.
I do think it's important to like. Yeah, there's when we talk about stuff like this, it's important to both like keep in mind like the things that are specific to like this individual group that's struggling, whether you're talking about like racism against Asian Americans or like, you know, anti-trans policies being pursued by the government. Like, it's important to talk about how those things are, like how those trials being faced by those communities are unique. But I also think like it's important to recognize that the attacks coming to both of those communities have the same point of origin. Which is like, and it's not like an individual. There are individuals that we can look at as like inflection points for that. But it's like, it's a feeling, and it's a feeling that has been deliberately cultivated like a garden in the hearts of millions. And that's the thing that's going to kill a lot more people than the coronavirus. And I would say a majority of the people who have died of the coronavirus, there's numbers coming out right now suggesting that like 70% of the dead in Louisiana are Black, where there's all these systemic reasons why that's the case. I didn't come on here to say that the solution to fighting all of these things is bullets, because I don't think that it is. But I'm sure open to anyone who has an idea of like how we fix this. Should we just ban Facebook? Can we ban Facebook first?
That would be a good start. Yeah, I mean, the bullets aren't a solution for, obviously. I think it's a comfort. It's a preparation. Mm-hmm. I was one of the people that reached out to you when this started, Robert.
Yeah.
Like, you know, should we get a handgun? Thankfully, I did ask you, and you were like, not now. Like,
yeah, definitely not now, not the time.
But, like, you know, like, if you're going to do this, don't just buy a handgun so you have a handgun. Right. You know, like, or a rifle.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, don't get a fear totem.
Yeah, don't just, like, be literally an episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, now, Homer developed a lot of fun uses for his gun that I advocate, too. They're great for turning off lights.
You did.
Yeah, that was a tool.
Doors,
that was a tool.
Opening cans. You're right. Which we need to start in microwaves.
I used this to dig up mushrooms. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Dig up mushrooms?
Your mushroom knife.
I think that's about all we had to talk about for today. So this has been a fun discussion about how when authoritarians in power push to marginalize groups of people based on bigotry, it will inevitably lead to death on an almost unimaginable scale if it isn't immediately and strongly resisted. And there's a variety of strategies to doing that, which, Sophie, make a note, that's the title of the episode.
Fun.
You know, like I said, a nice light topic for a nice light week and a nice light year.
Yeah.
We are planning to do some more episodes where we focus on different communities and areas being affected that you might not immediately realize, to try to expand awareness and get it. We need to be listening. We need to be paying attention.
Yeah. No, and the thing you can do, the most important thing you can do, and this is while you're stuck online, is if you see someone saying hi, you know, I'm not, or not hi, but whatever. If I'm a trans, you know, if you see a transgender person who's saying, you know, something that seems angry, that seems frustrated, don't be put off by the tone. Don't be put off by whatever thing. Listen to what's actually being said, because there's going to be anger. There's going to be frustration. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be years of pent up whatever. Trust me, there's going to be years of it. But there's going to be truth in that experience, and you have to listen now more than ever, because it's going to get worse. Things are going to get worse, and we have to be there for each other.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get wrapped up in everything that we are experiencing, and online there's this veneer, like it's we're connected, but we're anonymous. We're separate. Yeah. We are not actually sharing each other's pain that easily. You know, you have to just stop and take a step back and not knee-jerk react to things, which is something that I especially need to do. I mean, we all need to. I don't say that in like a preachy way. I mean it as a reminder to myself.
No, totally. As Eva stated, things are going to get worse, and follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah. Eva, what's your Twitter handle?
Oh, God.
Get on Twitter to guarantee that things get worse.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I mean, well, if for whatever ungodly reason you're going to go on Twitter, you can find me at Po River Jam Band, P-O River Jam Band on the Twitter website, if you want to. And again, just, you know, listen to what people have to say, and, you know, be there for each other. And the people who are less powerful than you are going to be there for you. People who are more powerful than you should be there for you. It's not about social capital. It's not about political capital. It's just about, we got to be there for each other, because it's going to get rough out there, and all we're going to have is each other. So do that. Just try to be less of what we've been, I guess. So do that.
Can we all just take it down a notch?
Yeah. Just be cool for like 10 and see how that feels.
Well, you can see how we feel on Twitter. I don't know why I keep bringing this back to plugging our Twitter, but
all of us to be swimming around in that slop of a Twitter pig pen.
You can find none of us on Twitter. Fucking go outside, but also stay away from people.
Yeah. Just open a window.
Go fishing.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Worst Year Pod. You can follow Katie at Katie Stoll. You can follow Robert at I Write Okay. You can follow Cody at Dr. Mr. Cody. And you should go wash your hands.
I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.